We have been making our way towards Easter, which is next Sunday, and we'd love to have you here for Sunday for Easter. Make sure that you sign up so we make sure we have plenty of room for everybody, and 9, 10, and 10:45. So pick one, sign up, let us know which one you're coming to, just so we make sure we have enough space. So as we've been moving towards Easter, we've been kind of camped out on a single verse in John chapter 14 that Jesus really gave in response to questions of the disciples based on what he was talking about with he was going to prepare a place. And then he makes this incredible statement. We've been talking about that we have a unique faith because of the unique claims that Jesus made. He just made claims nobody else made. He isn't like everybody else because he made specific and very unique claims that nobody else made. And this is one of them where Jesus replied to a question. We don't know where you're going, so how do we know the way there? And he declares, I'm the way, and I am the truth, and I am the life. And no one comes to the Father except through me. And sometimes you can read this and be like, wow, that's very leave everybody out, exclusive. Really, it's not. It's inclusive. Because everybody's invited and everybody's welcome to be part of what Jesus is doing and what Jesus has done. Everybody's invited. You can't say, well, I don't think I have enough money. Doesn't matter. Maybe my skin's the wrong color. That doesn't matter either. I'm the wrong gender. Doesn't matter. So everybody's included. Everybody's welcome because Jesus says, I am the way, and everybody has a path through the Father, and that path is through me. And we've been asking, what does this mean, and is it true? Okay, what does this mean, and is it true? And so just to recap the last couple weeks, okay, what about the way? The way to the Father is through the one who fulfilled everything necessary to make us right with God. So we had to be made right with God because our sin has broken us and put us far away from God. We had to be right with God. We can't do that on our own through our own good deeds. And so Jesus came, provided everything for us so that we could be right with God. Last week was all about the truth, that Jesus is the truth, this foundational, clarifying, trust-building truth that transforms a life. And so now this week, I am life. I am the life. This last statement of Jesus out of these three that he is making. Now, I want to remind you again, for the disciples, the life was the Torah. When he said the way, truth, life, they thought, well, isn't that the Old Testament? Isn't that the scriptures? Isn't that where we find the way? Isn't that truth? And isn't that where we find life? Okay, that's what they thought, because they would have read a statement from David like this, you lead me in the path of life. So God led them in that path, and how did he do that? He did that through scripture, through Torah, through their writings that they studied, and they followed all of God's commands. If they would follow the commands, they could be led in this path of life, okay? So that's why Jesus said early on in his ministry, I didn't come to wipe out the Old Testament and just pretend it doesn't exist anymore. I didn't come to do that. I came to actually fulfill it. Not to abolish it, but fulfill it, to be everything that it tried to be, to fill the gap until I came and provided the way, the truth, and the life. So Jesus was the living Torah, we've been saying, who fulfilled what no one else could fulfill. That's a lot. A lot of recap, a lot of getting us ready to talk about this morning, this idea of life. Now, like other words, such as the word love, when you get to the word life, it's not just one word in Greek, okay? This is why Greek's really difficult, because you got to figure out what they're saying, how they're saying it, what word they're using, okay? If we want to talk about life, we just say life, right? And we could have context in the words we're saying, but we just have one word, okay? And the word is life. But for the ancient Greeks and in the Greek language, there's three words that talk about life. So you got to make sure you know which word is being used here and which word's being captured here so we understand what on earth it's talking about. Is it just any type of life? What life is it talking about? So let me give you these three. And what's interesting is until you get to the last one, these first two, you're going to recognize them from other places that you've seen this little prefix, what we use it as, now, okay? So the first one is bios, okay? Life, the physical body, okay? Okay, life of the physical body, where we get our word biology from, okay? That was how to describe physical life. Jesus talked about this, okay? Life is not right contained in the sum of what you have. When he talks about those parables, there are times when Jesus talks about life, and he's simply talking about life, physical body, life, bios, where we get our word biology, and lots of other things that we use bio for. So bio is a sense of life, but it's simply talking about the physical body. Okay? Number two, psuche. Okay? Mind, emotion, will, where we get our word psychology. Okay? The study of that. So when he's talking about the mind, the emotions, or the will, and uses the word life, this is the word that comes up. This is what he would use, okay? So neither one of these is what he's saying, okay? I am not the physical body, right? I am not the bios, okay? I am not the psuche, the mind, emotions, or will. He's gonna use a third word, okay? That's one that you have to get familiar with because it's used quite often by Jesus. And in fact, then when you start moving in the New Testament, you start reading things that Paul wrote, you're going to find this same word, okay? The word is Zoe. The word is Zoe. And actually, that's where people who have named, their kids Zoe have gotten this from, okay? This was their word, Zoe. The uncreated, and what it means in biblical sense, is the uncreated eternal life of God. Okay, very simply put, the uncreated eternal life of God. And this is the life that Jesus says, I am the life, and invites us to experience that life. Right? So in John 3:16, when he talks about life, this is it again, over and over again. John chapter 10, he talks about this kind of life. And he doesn't talk about bios, and he doesn't talk about psuche. He talks about Zoe, and invites us into this kind of life, and simply put, it was the uncreated eternal life of God. So, why did Jesus come? John 10:10, really, really important verse. In fact, it's a verse that we talk about the whole concept of our church, Thrive. We go back to this verse, and this verse has been so wildly misunderstood. And part of the reason it's so misunderstood is we don't understand what Jesus says when he says life. Okay, I have come so that they may have life and have it abundantly. People read this word and go, wow, Jesus wants me to have a Mercedes, right? I mean, that's just it. I mean, it has to be that, right? Because we read in life, and the first thing we go to is our physical life, okay? Oh, God wants me to have nice things, right? Big house, nice car, all those things, okay? And it's just because that word life for us, we just translate it as life. Oh, and to have it abundantly, to have lots of this life. But he doesn't want us to have lots of bios, and he doesn't want us to have lots of psuche, right? Jesus didn't say, I came so you could have abundant emotions, okay? Now, for all the men in the room who don't know how to handle that, just think of me. Come on, guys, we have one emotion, it's anger. Okay? And we're really good at it, okay? Jesus didn't come to give us abundant amounts of that, okay? And for every time you've been frustrated, okay, at your wife and emotions, Jesus didn't say, oh, I came to give lots of that and overflow that, okay? That's not what he's talking about either. So he's not talking about what? He's not talking about bios. He's not talking about psuche. He's talking about Zoe. I've come that you would have life. And that you would have it abundantly, this uncreated eternal life of God. I came to give you that life, okay? I didn't come so you'd have huge, nice things, okay? That's not why I came. And that's why people would take that verse and just kind of twist it into that. They're just misunderstanding what the word life is there. And Jesus said, I didn't come so you'd have lots of mind, will, and emotions and have that to the full. I came so that you would experience this Zoe type of life. So I have come. Sometimes it would just help you to do this. Okay, helps me to do this. I've come so that they may have Zoe. If that just helps you not get trapped into thinking this means something else that Jesus did not intend for it to mean. then just put that word in it, okay? In fact, whenever you find it in Scripture, just put it in that. It might help you. I've come so that he may have Zoe and have it abundantly. I want you to have that type of life, Jesus said, and I want you to have it in incredible measures that you've never been able to experience before. But if we can be honest this morning, here's our problem. We are consumed in bios, in this physical life. We are controlled by suche, our emotions, mind, and will. And all the while, because of that, that we are consumed in this physical life and we are controlled by mind, emotions, will, we miss Zoe. We just miss it. It just like passes us by because we are so engulfed and consumed and controlled in this other. So this morning, if I can help us do anything in the next few minutes, is to try to turn us away from what we've been pursuing and running after and finally get an idea to go after this idea of Zoe, this eternal, uncreated life of God. So here we go. Jesus offers us Zoe, and in doing that, okay, we could go to Paul's statements, because this is where we would substitute it in. For to me, living, Zoe, is what? Christ. And dying is gain. It isn't this physical life, Paul says. It's not the emotion, mind, will. For you want to know what living, this whole idea of Zoe is? It is Jesus. And it's figuring out how we walk with him daily and how we have him as a part of our life. And why is this important? Because this type of life, this Zoe life in Christ, answers three of the most important questions that you or I will ever ask in our life. Three of the most important questions. In fact, when we ask these questions and we get outside of Zoe, we end up making some really bad decisions because we're pursuing the right questions, but we're going about it in the wrong way. You ready for these questions? Who am I? Why am I here? Where am I going? Really simple, right? Who am I? Why am I here? Where am I going? Or if you'd like to just sum these up in three simple terms, the first one is about identity. Who am I? What's my identity? Okay. The second one, meaning and purpose. The third one, destiny. Where am I going to end up? Where's the end to all of this? Now, start asking these questions again and start thinking about the wrong type of life. What's going to happen? Well, who am I? Right? And then you start asking, you start looking at yourself. And that's why so often we define ourselves by our work. Guys, we define ourselves by our family. We define ourselves by this physical life. It tells us who we are. And we are the sum of what we do. That's simply put. When we get consumed in this bios, this physical life, and we look to it to answer these questions, that's where we arrive. Who am I? I'm the sum of what people tell me I am. I mean, that's where we end up having a problem with this question, and we struggle with our identity. Hey, your identity's great if it's in your work, until that work doesn't exist, until you're fired, until you get to the day you retire. Well, then what do you do? Because your whole identity was all wrapped up in that. And then you struggle, and you struggle big because you answered the question you needed to answer, who am I? You just answered it in the wrong type of life. That I am just a physical body. I am just the sum of what you see in front of you. I am just this random grouping of subatomic particles. Okay, that's it. Okay, carbon-based life form, that's it. And you can understand if that's where you go, there's going to be lots of times that life's going to be difficult and hard, and you're going to question, well, who am I? Because what I thought I was in this physical body, in this physical life, has just greatly changed. Well, what if I go into that suche life? Then I'm just my emotions. And I just do whatever I feel like doing. I just do whatever I feel like. And if I feel like doing this day, that's what I do. And I'm just controlled and dictated to because my identity is all wrapped up in my emotions. That's a problem. Okay? What if we look to Jesus? And the invitation into this Zoe life is all of a sudden, oh, I'm a son, I am a daughter of God. Jesus came to provide all of that. So my identity now is in him. So it doesn't matter, right? It's a lot of things that got elevated into our lives of utter importance just don't matter anymore because God gets to tell us who we are. And I get to find my identity in him, and it isn't in anything else. When the other traps we get in with bios, with who am I, we just become the sum of what we've done. And that's all we can think about. Well, I'm just what I've done in my life. And all of us at times will have regrets that we wish we could go back and just erase and forget about them. Why? Because they haunt us because we just believe we're the sum of what we've done. And Jesus goes, no, you're about what I've done. And I've died for your sins. And I rose again for your salvation. So I want you to find your identity in me. Why am I here? Why am I here? We all search for this idea of meaning and purpose. That it needs to mean something. There needs to be some sort of purpose in my life. But again, if you look in the wrong place for that, you just come to the wrong conclusions. Because again, okay, why am I here? I don't know. I want to try to leave a mark somehow. I want to do something. And so we begin these pursuits. Now, if you want to see a guy who pursued this to the other end, okay, in your Bibles, there's a book called Ecclesiastes. I know, big, long name. But if you go to Ecclesiastes, Solomon tells us about how he did this, okay? And let me tell you, he had the money, he had the wealth, he had the power, he had the position, and he did it all. Because he was struggling with, why am I here? Why am I here? What is my meaning and purpose? And so all throughout the book of Ecclesiastes is meaningless, meaningless. Life is right? Well, he's not talking about Zoe life. He's just talking about the things he's pursued, trying to figure out, why am I here? So Solomon built buildings, and he built buildings, and buildings, and buildings, and buildings. He built temples. He built houses. He built all sorts of infrastructure. And you know what he got done? When he was done designing everything and building everything, boy, I thought that would fill this meaning and purpose, but it just didn't. And Solomon went down the trail of love, right? If I just find the right woman, Solomon thought, it will fix everything. And after 700 marriages and 300 mistresses, he gave up, right? Okay, that didn't work either. Because again, he's pursuing everything in this bios life, and he does this over and over again. He thinks it's about money, so I'll just be, you know, the richest man ever, okay? And we look at people now like Bill Gates, and we give him status that I don't understand. Windows is okay. I've wanted to throw my computer because of Windows, okay? But because he's like a billionaire, and he can sit there and tell us all sorts of things. I go, why is he going to tell us that? This guy couldn't run Windows, okay? I mean, come on. Get a program right, and then maybe we'll talk, okay? But he's a billionaire, so he can, like, tell us everything. I am telling you, Solomon would outperform all the billionaires. All of them. All of them. Put them all together, okay? Put them all together. Stack them up. Solomon outdid them all in gaining gold and silver and all sorts of precious things and stockpiled them. And then at the end of the day, you know, he said, that was meaningless. That didn't accomplish anything. And he did this over and over again. So read his pursuits. Because you think if I just had a little more, it would be better. Solomon's just going to tell you, no, it didn't bring me meaning. It didn't bring me purpose. It didn't bring me what I was looking for. So he begins to look what? The end of Ecclesiastes, he tells us what? Go back to your creator. Follow him while you're young and watch the path that he'll take in your life. Don't go by me because I screwed it up trying to find some meaning and some purpose. And that is what Jesus would love to give us. Why am I here? Well, we're created in the image of God. God gives us gifts and talents and abilities, and he has such incredible purposes in store for us. We go back to Jeremiah 29. I have plans for you. I have a hope and a future. Said to people who were in exile who thought God didn't care about them anymore. And perhaps you're there and you're wondering if God cares about you anymore either. Yes, he does. And if you will come to him to find this Zoe life, you will find out why you are here. and the meaning and purpose that he has for your life. Where am I going? What's my ultimate destiny? Where am I going? Now, some of us start off life with plans, hopes, dreams, okay? I want to end up here. I want to do this, okay? But ultimately, where are we going? What do we hope to accomplish with our lives? What do we hope destiny is? Well, what does this Zoe life invite us to? Eternal life. Life beyond this life. Life beyond this life that is full of the presence of God. It's an incredible destiny, but in case we miss it and we get into these other lives, these other pursuits, we're probably going to end up in the wrong place pursuing the wrong things, hoping that will give us some meaning and some purpose. That's what we hope for all along. Who am I? Why am I here? Where am I going? So, how are you answering those three questions? Who am I? Who are you? Why are you here? And I just don't mean here this morning. Why are you here? Why are you here breathing and living? Why? Where are you going? Where are you going? Where do you hope to end up? Those questions will haunt us all unless we find our identity, meaning, and purpose, and destiny in something far bigger than ourselves. And that's in our Creator, who has done everything to save us and rescue us. So here's what I want you to know today. Without this Zoe that Jesus offers, we're going to lose identity, we're going to lose meaning and purpose, and we're going to lose destiny. It will happen. It will happen because we're going to pursue the wrong type of life and end up in the wrong place and go, what happened? How did I get here? It wasn't supposed to go like this. It was supposed to go a whole lot better than this, right? Because we have hopes and dreams and plans, and sometimes the hardest thing to do in life is to say, okay, Jesus, I got these hopes and plans and dreams and all these things I want to accomplish, and I have no idea, okay, what I'm doing, but I know I'm yours, and I know you came to save me, so I'm just going to give these to you, and I want to see what you do with my life. The first thing he's going to do is give you identity. It's not going to be finding what anybody else says about you, of the things that you've done. That's going to be apart from that. That's going to be rooted and founded in him. Then he's going to help you with this meaning and purpose and why you are here. And then he's going to help you understand where you are going. This is why Paul would write, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. So what was his destiny? Gain. Gain at the end. See, we take that verse, okay? If you don't put Zoe there and you put bios there, we flip it around. Okay, for me to live is gain, get all I can, okay, pursue all I want, rake it all in. To die then is Christ. I had Christ in death. I prayed this prayer, took care of that, I'm okay. Okay, and at the end, when life ends, well, then I get Christ, okay? But now's all about gain. Now's all about grab all I can, experience all I can, do all I can. And that's what happens to that verse. We just flip it. And in flipping it, we are buying into life as bios only, and we are missing this type of Zoe life. So, Jesus' invitation. The invitation made to disciples, the invitation we still read in John 10:10, that I've come that they have life and have it abundantly. That invitation is not just to pray a prayer, but to live a life. This is really important because for some reason we get off track and we think, well, all I got to do is pray a prayer and I'm fine in the end. And what we've done is in trying to help people, okay, enter into a life with Christ, we've made it about a prayer that's just my insurance so I don't go to hell. That is not what Jesus meant at all, okay? And in doing so, the unintended consequences has been, well, I prayed a prayer. Okay, but how does that affect you now? Okay, you prayed a prayer when you were 8. Okay? You're 25. What does that have to, what does that do with your life now? Oh, I just do what I want and you know, live in this BIOS life and experience all these different things. And where's Christ? Well, Christ is there at the end. That's why I prayed the prayer. I'm fine. I got my get out of hell free card and I'm okay. It's good. But that's not what Jesus invited us to. And what's happened is in trying to help people enter into life with Jesus, we've only helped people pray a prayer. And too many are missing what it's like to walk with Jesus. So don't tell me about the prayer you prayed. Tell me about the life you're living now and what Jesus is doing now and how you are finding your identity, your meaning and purpose, and your destiny in Him. That's what Jesus has invited to. That's a life abundant when you know who you are and why you were created and where you are going. That's a life abundant that we cannot miss. And that's Jesus' invitation, perhaps to His disciples who, you know, had no idea what was going to happen. Now, you've got to consider something for a guy like Peter. Okay, here's Peter. He's relegated to doing his father's business, which was being a fisherman, okay? As all Jewish boys did, he would have started off in school in formal education till he got to a point. And at that point, they'd just look at Peter and say, Peter, Simon, we have good news and bad news for you, okay? Good news is you don't have to study in here anymore, okay? Bad news is you're going back home, okay? Because you don't cut it. You don't cut it. You can't take that next step and ultimately end up being a rabbi. Okay? Sorry. You're not smart enough, good enough. Okay? And someone like Peter would have walked out. He would have gone home and been like, sorry, mom and dad, I tried. And gone and learned his father's trade. And that's when Jesus encounters him. And what does Jesus do to Peter? He invites him back into what he was totally failed out of. He invites him back into what he thought he would never be good enough for. And the same Peter who fails, and then he fails often with Jesus, okay, gets to the end and he's the leader of the early church. And you have to wonder if Peter ever imagined on the day of Pentecost when he stood up to speak that there would be all these people who would listen to him. And I wonder if in that moment, or maybe later, maybe another time, it clicked in. Wow. That life abundant he talked about, oh my goodness, I had no idea what Jesus had in store for me. Now, remember, this is a man who at the end of his life gets hung upside down on the cross, nailed and killed. All the while celebrating what Jesus invited him into and this incredible life. The same life I want you to experience as well, because that's why Jesus came. And this week as we celebrate that and we look at that, as we gather on Good Friday and remember his death, and as we gather next Sunday and celebrate the resurrection, it's this life we've been invited into that we have got to stop pursuing other things and remember our identity and our meaning and purpose and our destiny is found in him. So I want to pray for us today because I want you to seriously consider how you are answering those questions. And what does it mean to follow Jesus? Do you pray a prayer 10 years ago? Or are you actually living the life that Jesus created for you to live? So let's pray and then we're going to worship together one last time this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, I know it was a lot. And help us because we live in a world consumed by this physical life. Consumed by it. So much so that a year ago we locked everything down, hoping to preserve BIOS above everything else. Meanwhile, lots of people lost BIOS. Some people even took their own. It's been a challenging year. And all the while, Father, I'm afraid we've missed Zoe. We've missed this life you have invited us into. And when we consider, we just default back to some prayer we prayed. Not a life we're living. not something active, an emotion in our life. So would you remind us that you came to give us life, Zoe life, so that we could answer those three big questions: who am I, why am I here, and where am I going? Father, nothing will derail us faster than getting those questions wrong. We don't want to do that, because you paid far too high a price. You died for our sins and rose again for our salvation so that we could be invited into this life. So we would know, who am I? And we would know, why am I here? And we would know, where am I going? Would you help us experience that type of life in you that you provided for us and gave to us and sacrificed everything to give to us? May we experience that. In Jesus' name, amen.